Welcome to the Binge Breakers podcast. I'm Jacqueline. I am here to teach you how I overcame bulimia and my binge eating disorder, and how you can too. Through simple steps of mind management, repairing your relationship with yourself, understanding your habits, and intuitive eating.
Disclaimer, this recording is not intended to be used as medical advice, nor is it advice from a doctor. I am a coach, a recovery coach, and I offer advice from my own experience and my clients, but please, if you think you are in need of medical help, seek it immediately. We'll also be talking about subjects such as binging and purging, depression, and other sensitive topics, so if those trigger you, please listen at your own discretion. Okie dokie. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Friday podcast. Today's kind of a recovery stories one, but it's about me, a recovery story that I have and something I did in recovery. And it brings up an interesting question that I was asked in the group program last week. We were talking back and forth. For those of you guys that don't know, I do an 8-week group coaching program. The next one is starting up soon. So if you are interested, there are limited spots available. Only 20 people can join. So you can find that on my website. Just go to April enrollment, and you should be able to sign up the wait list, and then I'll contact you when enrollment opens, which if everything goes according to schedule should be this week. But anyway, we are talking in that 8-week program. We have personal Zoom calls where all of us that are on the call can talk back and forth and ask questions. And someone discussed how, you know, should you have safety foods? Should you have bridge foods? And they also asked me what I did in my own recovery. And I talked about the Halo Top and Hershey's Magic Shell story. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you're one of those people that have listened to every single episode. Man, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I feel honored that you wanted to listen to every episode, and I hope that they have helped you. Two, you'll know that part of my recovery journey was eating a pint of Halo Top with Hershey's Magic Shell every night. And I think I did it for at least a month, maybe more. And it wasn't this, like, I'm sure there were a few days where I didn't end up having it, but for a while it was consistent where I just every single night got a pint of Halo Top and had it with Hershey's Magic Shell. And someone commented on my Instagram when I posted about this, like having an extra $150 a month to spend on Halo Top. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's where all my binge money went, I guess. Like, instead of binging on random things, I put it towards Halo Top. But the reason that I did that is because I had stopped binging and purging at this point, and I didn't feel completely comfortable around food. I had reached this new stage where I'm like, okay, I know how to be mindful and present with urges. I know how to eat more, and I know how to not automatically react to that urge and how to prevent myself from binging, and I know I shouldn't purge, and I know how to not purge. I know those things, but I'm still not completely comfortable with food, and I'm definitely not confident in having binge foods in the house. And what I mean by binge foods is I wasn't at the stage where I was eating anything and everything to binge, and I'll address that at a certain point, but like there was a stage during my recovery where I was eating, or during not my recovery, my bulimia and binge eating days, where I was eating like raw oats and chia seeds, and maybe if I was lucky, like had some sugar or something to put on it. And I was eating that, no milk, no anything, just binging on straight up dried oats, and then falling asleep because I ate so much afterwards. That's what I would binge on sometimes. So it wasn't at that stage where I was binging anything. I had certain foods that I knew if they were in the house, I would absolutely binge on them. And maybe that wasn't true, but it's what I thought. And then there were certain foods where I felt comfortable having them around the house, and it wasn't a big deal, and it was unlikely to binge on them. And for some reason, one of those foods was Halo Top, and then another one was the Hershey's Magic Shell that you put over ice cream. And don't ask me why that food was not bingeable to me. Like, you can binge on anything, but for some reason, the Hershey's Magic Shell, my brain had this sort of block of like, I can't eat more than a few servings of that. And I didn't even really pay attention to the serving size. And I think because it was a liquid sauce, I could just kind of lie to myself and tell myself it really wasn't that many calories. And it wasn't a big deal when it was probably a sizable amount of calories. And the Halo Top, for some reason, I felt safe around. I mean, it's a lower calorie ice cream. It tasted okay. And it was close to what my binge foods used to be. And to bring it back, like the foods I absolutely did not feel safe around were big tubs of ice cream. That's what I would binge on a lot. Cereal, large bags of chips.
and pastries of any kind. Like a common binge food for me, since I lived really close to a grocery store, was every single day after work, I'd stop by the grocery store and go to the back section where my ex and I would call them woohoo deals, because they'd always have a woohoo sticker on it. It literally said woohoo because it was off. It was a sale price, and like they'd have sale pastries, and oftentimes they'd have half cakes that you could buy just for $3, and I would get that as my binge food. So I didn't feel safe around large volumes of cakes, ice creams, chips, cookies, that sort of stuff. But I did feel safe around one pint of Halo Top and one container of Hershey's Magic Shell that I would not eat all in one sitting. And people in the group asked me, they're like, well, I will sometimes have my safe foods, but then I'll binge on my safe foods. And there was a little bit of me that like wanted to go get more and wanted to definitely eat more than just one pint of Halo Top, especially Halo Top. It's a low calorie thing, so you can eat a lot of it, but then it just kind of, it's like cotton candy. It just dissolves into a small amount in your stomach. So you think you're eating a lot, but then it melts and you're really not eating that much. It's actually quite watery. So it definitely, there's encouraging of high volume eating, which is close to binge eating, which I didn't love. But for some reason, I made it a rule in my head that, you know, we're only going to have one at a time, and I would only buy one per day, maybe two if they were on sale, like a buy one, get one. But I live so close to the grocery store that buying a pint of Halo Top was not a big deal at all. You know, like I just could literally walk to the grocery store if I needed to. So having one in my freezer rather than a whole bunch of them, I think helped with not binging on them. And for some reason, because the Hershey's Magic Shell, I felt okay and not okay with it because I knew it was calorie dense. And so for some reason, it was like my little bridge food of, we can have this and we can have as much as we want, but we do need to be careful with it. And it was like my little practice, my little training wheels to be able to have more calorie dense foods with a low calorie option. Anyway, totally on track. But I did that for every night for a little while in my recovery. And here's why I think it was helpful. And I'm not recommending that you do this, but I am recommending that if you are one of those people that don't want to go all in, sometimes people do need to go all in. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying for me, it wasn't available. Like the idea, if someone had come to me at this stage when I was eating Halo Top and said, yeah, you just need to give up everything and just put all of your binge foods in the house and then see what happens. And eventually you'll feel better and you'll be in abundance and it'll be great. And you'll just stop binging at some point. That to me would have translated to, I'm going to binge all day, every day. And either I'm going to start purging again, or I'm going to gain 1,000,000 pounds and I'm going to be worse off than when I started. And then I'm probably going to go back to bulimia or go on some rigid diet thing or do something much worse to myself because I hate myself so much. So that's not an option, and that would have kept me stalled. So going all in, even if it could have helped me during that time, and I think there was a point where I kind of went all in where I didn't feel as like severe around food, was helpful. But during the stage, that wasn't an option to me. And then the other side is to keep on restricting and never having any binge foods around at all. And that wasn't helpful either. This method here that I'm suggesting of having some safe foods and some foods that are a little out of your comfort zone, but still somewhat there, might be the little gray territory that you need and kind of your foot in the door of how to eventually be comfortable with those more extreme foods. But here's the reason why that is that when I had this Halo Top and Hershey's Magic Shell every night, one thing it taught me was abundance. Like I had it every single day and it became my thing and I didn't allow myself to feel guilty about it. There was sometimes guilt that came up and shame and like, do I really need to have this? But I don't know why, because no one told me to do this. It just felt intuitively right. It felt to me like, hey, I think I need to have this and have my treat every single day. And I can't quite tell you why, but I think this is important. And so I kept just being like, I was done shaming myself. I had not shamed myself for bulimia behaviors. And maybe that's why, is that I'm like, you know, at least you're not binging and purging. And if you want to treat at the end of the night, this is an okay treat to have. And it's not so bad. It's not gallons of ice cream. It's not binging and purging. It's not the worst thing in the world. Like, let's just be chill and let ourselves have that. So it taught me not only how to feel less guilt with food and how to treat myself without guilt, but then to have abundance with food. And every single night, it came to be expected and I was allowed to have it. Having that consistency and something be reliable, it's like anxious
versus avoidant attachment styles in romantic relationships. You know, if someone starts becoming really avoidant, then you might find yourself becoming more anxious because they're being inconsistent and avoiding you and all those sorts of things. Versus when someone's super consistent and secure, then you're more likely to be secure and trusting that they're going to be there when they say they're going to be there, and they're not going to go off and they're not going to react in a weird way or leave you. That's the same thing with food. And I developed a more secure relationship with food when every single day, rain or shine, I was allowed to have that Halo Top no matter what, unconditionally. And it made me feel less scarce. It made me feel more trusting. It made me feel more abundant that food was available. It also created boredom with that food. Like, I was always someone that would finish a whole pint of Halo Top no matter what. And now I think maybe if I was really hungry, I would totally eat a whole thing of Halo Top. And I could always force myself to eat a whole thing of Halo Top. But I think if I got Halo Top or even a regular pint of ice cream, now, usually a regular pint, like let's say I'll get my favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor is thick mint. And if I get that, that's going to take me 2 or 3 servings to finish, meaning I'll have a serving or whatever, like I'll eat three fourths of it, right? And then I'll put it away, and then I'll go back and get another, and then I'll put it away, and then I'll go back to get another. And that was from eating that ice cream consistently and still allowing myself when I wanted to have that ice cream consistently and getting kind of almost bored of the food, and the scarcity goes away and the urgency to eat it all right then and there goes away. And like it becomes whatever. The same thing happened to me with pizza, actually, because my ex would order pizza a lot and I would just allow it unconditionally. And it was so embarrassing. Like I would need to have a whole pizza. And for those of you guys that are in the UK or not in the US, a whole pizza here in the US, especially like a pan pizza from Domino's or something like that, that's not usually a portion that one person could eat in a normal meal. Like 2 to 3 slices is considered a normal portion size, and a sizable portion at that, calorie dense for sure. But I would be able to eat a whole pizza, and I just allowed myself to have it without guilt. I wasn't binging it. I wasn't mechanically eating it. I wasn't like trying to eat it as fast as possible and then purging it, but I was definitely overeating. And lo and behold, every single time that he ordered pizza, I just was like, we're going to have this. We're going to have as much as we want. It's okay. You can go back for more. Sometimes I would like pause halfway through and try not to have more. And then I was like, no, I really want more. And then I'd go back and have more. And I would then like assess how I felt afterwards. Slowly but surely, pizza even became a little bit more boring to me. And of course, I love a good pizza. Like I was craving pizza this weekend, or no, I had pizza for my birthday and that was delicious. And I really wanted it. But I'm not so ravenous for pizza anymore like I used to be. But in the beginning, it was like, I need more and more and more of this, but eventually got bored of it. Anyway, so I built trust, abundance, even boredom with those foods, maybe less emotionally attached to them. It also built confidence in myself and trust in myself. Like, you know, when you tell yourself, okay, I totally, you know, if you want this tomorrow, you can have this tomorrow, but then you don't allow yourself to have it, then you don't really trust yourself. Or saying, hey, we're going to have just this pint of ice cream and this Hershey's Magic Shell, and that's that. And after we're done with the pint, we're done for the night. And then you keep going and you go back to the grocery store and buy more, or you have the second serving. It builds this lack of trust of like, yeah, I said I'm not going to have more, but I totally am going to, and I know I'm lying to myself. This activity builds a lot of trust and confidence in my ability to healthily moderate food and allow myself food. So it built this idea of like, yeah, what I say is actually what I mean. And the healthy moderation with that, because it was just a pint, I purposefully did not buy more because I didn't trust myself with more. It allowed me to then kind of understand that I do have some ability to moderate, because there were urges to have more afterwards, always. Like, there never came a point, I mean, they eventually did, but in the very beginning, I always wanted to have more than just whatever was in a pint of Halo Top, especially if I'm used to binging. Like, I want way more than just one pint. But it allowed me to be like, well, we're done now, and we can always have more tomorrow, but today we're done. And it was a healthy boundary that I learned to uphold over and over and over again. So again, this is like a bridge activity of safe foods. Eventually, I did start bringing in more unsafe foods. Like, I remember I wouldn't even keep peanut butter in the house, but I got peanut butter. I would get like serving sizes of chip bags rather than a whole big chip bag. Now I can have chip bags and cereal in the house. It's no problem. But I started with having serving portions of those things rather than getting big bags, or I'd only buy big bags of stuff or big portions of stuff when I knew it'd be around people, that it wouldn't just be me eating it. And that seemed to help. But slowly but surely, it was from that foundational like baby step exercise of having a Halo Top and Hershey's Magic Shell that led me to eventually be able to branch out. So if you're in the stage, I do want to address this. Let me think for a second. If you're in the stage where you are eating anything and everything, and it doesn't matter what the food is, like you will just binge. Like if there's only carrots and cucumbers in the house, you're going to binge on carrots and cucumbers. That's a different type of binging stage that I was not at. But even before I stopped binging and purging, I was allowing myself to eat more regularly and more consistently without really realizing it. And I was also a lot more mentally well, meaning that I wasn't beating myself up so much in my mind. I had a lot more healthy thoughts towards myself, and I wasn't just shaming myself all the time. And I'd say my depression was a little bit better during that time. In which case, the urges to binge on anything had disappeared. When I was binging on things like dried oats and chia seeds, maybe the sugar, maybe not, and hold the milk, which is just like crazy to think I was binging on that. I was very hungry. Like I was in starvation mode. I was very much so struggling. And the times where I wasn't in starvation mode, like when I got back from England, actually, it was a lot of times I was binging when I didn't realize it. I really hated my life. That's what was going on. Like I was coping with having an adventure of a lifetime and then suddenly going back to living alone and being in a city that I didn't really love, and also doing a job that I knew I wasn't going to do long term, that I wasn't very good at, and then having a schedule, and then also having someone in my life close to me telling me that I had gained a bunch of weight and that I needed to lose weight. And so I was trying not to eat all day as well, and then I'd come home, binge, fall asleep, then go to the gym and try to work off what I had binged, and then go to bed and repeat the whole cycle over again. So it was really like, you know, when you think about if you're uncontrollably binging to the point where you're binging anything and everything, it might be important to look at, okay, before we try to do this bridge activity, maybe we should try to just make sure we're eating more consistent meals, making sure we're getting enough food and getting sleep, and assessing, is there anything else going on in our life that's causing this stress? And then once you maybe get a few of those things under control, then try out the bridge food thing that I'm talking about, the exercise of eating something consistently, having a scheduled treat or snack every single day. That could be one. But if that's happening, I'm guessing it's not just as simple as buying some Halo Top. So yeah. But anyway, I hope that you found this relatable and helpful. And I just wanted to I've shared the story before, but it's always good to share it again. And should you go all in, sometimes that's helpful, and it depends on you. And I have clients go all in at different stages of their recovery. So maybe right now is not the time to go all in, but eventually go all in when you feel confident. Sometimes you just need to fully let go of control. And a lot of people are so scared to let go of control, but that's what they need in order to improve and move forward. But I also understand, again, like I said in the beginning, of being in it, the idea of letting go and control is just not something you're willing to do. Therefore, we need to find a bridge. So I would recommend maybe pause the episode and just think, what is my bridge? What is something I'd be willing to do that's not quite all in, but it's one step closer, but I'm still willing to do it. It's still in my wheelhouse, and I can commit to doing that daily at the very least. That's the baby step you want to start with. All right. I think that is it. I'm doing a lot of stuff. So next week is our retreat coming up, and I just got a last minute attendee going to that. We have already one attendee, but now two, and that's super exciting. The next retreat I'm going to be hosting is sometime in November, and I'm going to start marketing that immediately after this next retreat. So if you wanted to go to this last retreat, but it was like too soon, one of my clients, he was telling me, he's like, Jacqueline, the retreat's awesome. You really, like, I don't know. It's really good. People need it. You're just marketing it way too late. Like, start selling it a year in advance. So I'm going to sell the next retreat starting immediately after this next week. So stay tuned for that. And that way, if budget's an issue or coordinating things in your schedule, you can get on a payment plan ASAP so that it doesn't have to be that big of an upfront cost, because obviously I have to pay the retreat center. But that's happening. I'll keep you posted. And I'm doing the 30-day journal challenge on my Instagram. And that has been super fun. I've only done 2 days. By the time you're listening to this, I've done about 5 days. And I'm doing it for my Instagram subscription feed and then for people that are past members or current members. And I'm just uploading those Instagram subscription lives that I do every morning to the Facebook group. But it's only 99 cents to join. So if you are interested in getting up with me at 8 a.m., if you can't get up with me at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, you can watch the replays. But I'm just going through my journal process and I'm taking you through what's going on with me each day, how I'm planning my days, the questions I'm asking, the challenges that I'm occurring, the goals that I have, and how I'm organizing my day. And I think it's going to be helpful for me, but it's also super helpful for people that don't know how to journal or need to stay accountable or want to accomplish something big in their life. So that's happening. Go to my Instagram for that. And then, is there anything else? And then I'm also taking on, opening a new very short-term 60-day coaching container where I'm only taking on 5 people to discuss very specific one goal and then working on anchor habits, kind of like the journaling thing I'm doing, like one thing they can do daily to work towards their ultimate goal within 60 days and really see if they can make a difference within those 60 days. So if you are interested in that, go to my website at bingevickers.com to find out more. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a beautiful weekend and I hope you really enjoyed this episode. Never, ever, ever give up on yourself.